This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grader.
We're inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, and with us is Babette Allen. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fine. And the reason we have asked you to come today is because, well, I'm a sucker for the fiddle.
You are.
And I'm going to ask you about your instrument and the CD you have and all of those things. But first, I want to talk to you about a camp that's coming up.
Right.
Where you will be instructing fiddlers of all levels?
It looks like it, yes. Looks like a pretty good range from, say, middle beginning to intermediate, a good intermediate range.
And this
students.
Is taking place at Ozark Folkways?
At Ozark Folkways, yes.
Near Winslow, or can we say it's in Winslow?
I think we can say it's in. It's south of the sign that says
right.
Winslow.
So close enough.
Yeah.
It seems like a somewhat intimidating instrument because there's a lot happening. You've got fingers, you've got the bow, you've got placement, posture. It all matters?
Yes, it does. You're right. There are a lot of things that are going on and a lot of things going through a student's mind. And actually, you can see on their faces as they're thinking through each thing that they have to remember. But the importance of the posture and a lot of the things in technique is that in the end, it actually makes it easier to play some things. It makes it easier to play faster. It makes it easier to play more in tune. It makes it easier for string crossings. So it's important to learn proper technique from the beginning.
You were named the Arkansas State Fiddle Champion in 2005.
Yes.
So, and that's a competition.
Correct.
So you've participated in one. You've also judged.
Right.
What is that like?
For me, it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary. There are a lot of fiddle competitions across the country, and I've been in several. I really started in the competitions because I heard that people were having a lot of fun. For me, it's a lot of pressure as well. I think the fun part is in seeing old friends and maybe jamming and playing some other tunes. The competition itself that normally you have to play a hoedown waltz and a tune of choice, and so you practice them. And in most contests, they have time limits. Some of them, it's you have to play all of them in 4 minutes. Some, it's 6 minutes. And so there's pressure to make sure you get your pieces down to that time limit. And then something happens with me when I go out on a stage and somebody brings a microphone down to my instrument and there are judges sitting in the back not looking. I don't know. You try to perform for the audience, but somehow the pressure of being judged for it is there. So it's difficult for me to play in a contest and be judged. On the other hand, it's not as hard performing as a judge, because in most contests, when you perform, when you're a judge, they also call on you to perform so the audience can see who you are, and that's not near as nerve-wracking, and it's the exact same people.
Well, what's some of the criteria that they're basing their judging on? I mean, I would imagine, you know, hitting all of your notes and things like that, but...
Well, actually, in most... I think what's supposed to be first in mm-hmm. most of the contests I've judged is rhythm and timing.
Oh.
And because a lot of them started off wanting danceable music, because that's what fiddle music, that's what most people think of, and that's what it's been. So you want to be able to, like, when I judge, I want to see if my foot's tapping, you know, is this music going to want me to jump up and dance and feel good? So that's one of the major criterias. tone, quality, some of the things that would be the same in playing if you were performing as well. You know, tone, quality, playing in tune is not one of the major criteria, but certainly when you get to the upper level, it matters.
The name of the CD is that you have is Raina's Waltz.
Correct.
Do you prefer waltzes over others, or?
I do. I do like waltzes. This CD is called Raina's Waltz because one of the tunes on there is called Raina's Waltz, and it was written for me by a very famous Texas fiddler, Randy Elmore. Raina is my first name. So he liked my first name, so he called it Raina's Waltz. And so that's what I called the CD.
The Fayetteville Polka?
Yes.
As in Fayetteville, Arkansas, or is it?
Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Okay, written in 1856. Tell me a little bit about Fayetteville Polka.
Ferdinand Zellner was a music teacher here in Fayetteville, and he wrote that. When Civil War came to Fayetteville, he left and went to San Francisco. But I became acquainted with this because there was a play written that was performed here in Fayetteville about the history of Fayetteville, and that was played in it, and I thought, I'm going to play that song. So I play it a lot, actually.
So here is someone who wrote Fayetteville Polka in Fayetteville, moved to San Francisco.
Correct.
And you were born
in San Francisco.
Oh.
Right.
So,
I never thought of that, but
meant to be.
Did you pick up the fiddle in California when you were growing up?
Yes. Well, actually kind of started with violin in school, in elementary school. A violinist came to school and played Hot Canary, and I was sold. And just played, so I played in school orchestra starting. My dad played piano, so I played a lot of music with him. He wasn't a classical player, but he used to have little combos and dance bands and things like that. So played a lot of old standards and things like that. And then somewhere along the line, I heard, you know, people fiddling, and thought, I want to do that too.
How often do you have the instrument in your hands every day?
Yes, but it's very close to me, and I'm very attached to the. I actually have two violins, and I'm very attached to them, and they're very like within arm's reach at almost any time. But they need to be. I have students and, you know, want to grab them and play.
What's the difference between the two? Are they the same type of violin, or are they two different kinds, or?
Well, let's start with the other one.
Okay.
The one that I didn't bring with me,
okay,
is a violin that was made for my dad's cousin in San Francisco in 1923.
Uh-huh.
And they would go after school by the violin maker's shop and watch the violin being made. And then many years later, when I was playing, the violin was given to me. And so I've got it, and I've played it a lot for years. I don't play it all the time now because it's not really the sound I'm looking for all the time. But when I do play it, which is frequently, it really has a beautiful tone. So I keep thinking, oh, maybe I should go back and forth a little more, but that one has sentimental value. This violin here that I've got is a contemporary violin made by Jonathan Cooper from Gorham, Maine. And I met him years ago at Mark O'Connor's fiddle camp. He used to come to the camps and he'd make a violin or a part of a violin. And several people I know have Cooper violins. And for me, it was a real treasure when I got it. It just so happens that I had gone to a Mark O'Connor, actually I was teaching at one of the Mark O'Connor fiddle camps in San Diego. And John had violins set out right down from my classroom. And when I walked by him, I said, gosh, I'm going to get to try out some of your violins. And he picked it up and he said, here, try this one. And I played about five notes and that was it.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. May we see it?
Sure.
In the case right now. It seems like that might be a good segue for me to ask, do you want to play something?
Well, I could.
Okay. We'd be honored.
Yes.
I could play something for you.